because it was built on sand. And great was the fall of that house. Jesus Christ is the rock on which we stand. Jesus Christ is the wisdom from God sent to us. Jesus Christ will carry us all the way to the end. Jesus Christ is awesome, and He is the source of our wisdom. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light. I wanna shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Cause all I want is to be in the light. Yeah. All I want is to be in the light.
Hi again, faithful Live in the Light friends. It's so great to be with you today. Maybe you're in your car or you're listening at home. We want to hear about where you are at today. Are you encouraged in the Lord? Are you excited by what He's doing? Or can we be praying for you in some way? You can reach us anytime by email through liveinthelight.ca, or you can give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT, and one of our team members will be thrilled to hear from you. We love to know what you're doing and where you are and how we can be involved in your life. You are meeting us today in our second message in the book of James called Fittingly, Need Wisdom? And as you may know, James is famously the wisdom book in the New Testament. He emphasizes again and again how important it is as you walk with the Lord to ask for His wisdom. It's something we desperately need, and it's something the Lord loves to give. God cares for us, and this passage tells us that He gives wisdom generously, and He loves to do so. So have faith, friends. Let's ask together. Let's get back into the message. Open your Bible with me right now, if you can, to James 1, 5 through 8.
Tomorrow, wake up, ask again. Next day, wake up, ask again, child. I want to give you my wisdom. Focus on the character of God when it comes to His generosity and the giving of wisdom. He loves to give wisdom. In fact, He longs to give us His wisdom. So consider the potential here then, the wisdom of God. We have the potential for the wisdom of God to flood into every thought, every word, and every action we take. That's what's happening right here. God is inexhaustible. He won't run out of wisdom supply. He is able to and longs to give us wisdom for every thought, word, and deed. So the question right now then is this. Are we asking God for His wisdom? That's the question. Are you actively, intentionally pursuing God for His wisdom? And again, listen, truly, I don't want you to just nod your head and be like, yeah, I'm doing that. Well then, like, really though, like with your life, with my life on an ongoing basis, for example, have we asked God for wisdom in our schedules? Let's just get practical for a second. When's the last time you've intentionally and seriously pulled out your calendar daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, and said, God, would you give me wisdom over my schedule today, this week, this month, and this year? When's the last time you've actually done that? For a lot of us, the answer is, actually, I've never done that. Well, no wonder we lack wisdom. See, we're not intentionally asking God for His infinitely wise input into our daily lives. The things we take for granted, like this is what happened, the things we take for granted. We walk along, we show up to church, we go home and we forget about God until next Sunday, right? We're not spending time with Him, we're not praying to Him, we're not seeking His wisdom, we're not in His word, we're not whatever. And then somehow we expect His blessing to flood our lives, but He's like, well, time out. Like you spend no time. Like what's going on? How can you expect my wisdom to enter into your life when we never talk? Like if you wanna get to know someone and hear their counsel, you should probably ask them. Right, that's what needs to happen. It's so basic. You're like, yeah. I just want God to kind of, you know, like do it. But are you gonna spend time? Well, I don't know. Maybe, but that doesn't work. Like that's the foolish person who spends no time with the Lord. In our schedules, what about in our vocations? Like, do you think God wants to grant you wisdom at work? 100%, especially in your trials at work. God is longing to give you wisdom with the boss that is so difficult to work with, or the circumstance that seems outside of your control. He longs to give it. When have we asked for that? When have we sat down and said, Lord, I need your wisdom today in this situation with this individual and this circumstance? How about wisdom in our homes? When's the last time you've intentionally sought God for wisdom with your spouses, your children, your families? I mean, the need for wisdom in our marriages. Like, the need for wisdom in parenting. Like, oh man, the need for God's voice and leading and guidance. But you have multiple situations of people who have never really asked God for his help. Hence, you have negative outcomes. How about wisdom in our friendships? How about wisdom in dating? Please tell me, as your young person seeking to enter into such relationships, beg God for his wisdom. These young people, they rush into these relationships and all of a sudden they're giving themselves away emotionally or physically or whatever it might be, in disastrous results through a lack of wisdom where the feelings and the emotions are so strong, you lose wisdom and you run in, and then all of a sudden you're devastated and hurt and you're left there weeping in sorrow. It all could have been avoided by the wisdom of God. How about wisdom with his finances? Not yours, his. It's all his. How about wisdom with his finances? The amount of advice Proverbs gives on, and James, by the way, even today or next week too. The wisdom on finances, because of how important stewardship and how we treat what God has entrusted to us ends up within our lives. So allow me again to point out the obvious. The greatest way to pursue the wisdom of God is through word and prayer, ultimately, where we will hear the voice of God. It's time with him. It boggles my mind how many people and professing believers who will fill their minds with social media, but will not fill their minds and lives with the word of God in prayer. See, it boggles my mind. I'm a believer, they say. I'm a believer. I love Jesus. I spend multiple hours, sometimes a day, on social media, filling my mind. Most of it is not great. That's being nice. But I have no time in the word and prayer. I have one word for you. Stupid. Right. When we put our theology on the table, God is the only source of wisdom. He brings all true blessing in our lives. He's the only one who can grant us such things, but I'm not spending time with him. I'm spending time in the world and all the crud that goes with that, and showering myself with the filth of that, and thinking there's no other way to, foolishness versus wisdom. And I don't have to feel sorry about saying any of this, because God's word says it over and over again. This is exactly how it goes. And so the reason I pursue the Lord, I seek to do it in his strength and grace the way I do, it's theology that I'm convinced of that works through my life. It comes down to as simple as this: wise, foolish. I want to be wise. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Ask him, pray to him, discipline yourself in the rhythms of what God blesses. Please, Holy Spirit, would you give faith and desire and hunger and discipline and self-control by your Holy Spirit, that you might see an increasing number of people in this church body pursuing you in the desire for wisdom. Remember this too, Jesus Christ is the personification of wisdom. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 1:30. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 1:30. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Jesus Christ is the epitome of wisdom. So more Jesus in your life, automatically more wisdom. The closer you get to Christ, the more wisdom that floods your life. Every step you take to Jesus is a step of wisdom flooding your life to influence you again for God's blessing. Not ease, but God's blessing. Jesus Christ, more Jesus, more wisdom. It really is that simple. Whatever you can do to get more Jesus in your life, that will lead to wisdom. So, need wisdom? Ask God for it. Here comes the challenging part to this message. Now, number two is this, ready? But if you ask, ask in faith. If you ask, ask in faith. Look at verse six again. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So right away, we have a condition if I'm going to receive wisdom. I gotta ask God. I gotta ask God in prayer. I gotta seek the Lord God. I need your wisdom. But notice, I have to ask in faith. And notice immediately following that phrase is with no doubting. Let him ask in faith, not that simple, with no doubting. So obviously this is a big deal to James. Obviously this is a big deal to the Holy Spirit that it's been given, the emphasis it's been given, the command for faith and the warning of doubt. You know what's interesting to me too? Two things in the, you know, at least in the ESV, two things in the Gospels that Jesus marveled at, two things. Jesus marveled at faith and Jesus marveled at a lack of faith. The only two things that I can read in my Bible in the Gospels that Jesus marveled at. He marveled at faith and he marveled at a lack of faith. So I wanna be super clear here as we put our sub points on the screen as we break down verses 6 to 8 as we go forward. When it comes to asking for wisdom, first of all this, we must not doubt. On the screen beside me, behind me. We must not doubt. Very clear, right? Very clear there. Why is doubting such a problem? Why is doubting such a problem? In essence, listen to this, when we doubt in terms of asking God for wisdom, when we doubt, we're doubting the very character of God, right? So we've learned already, God's character is to give. And he promises it will be given to him or her who asks for wisdom by faith. So when we ask for wisdom and then we doubt God will do it, we're signaling, actually, God, I don't trust in who you are. I know you said it here, but I don't believe that's who you are. So I'm gonna doubt in your desire or ability to fill my life with wisdom. See, if God says he will do something, faith says, based on the character of God, he cannot do otherwise, I believe. Right? So when faith hears the promise of God to give wisdom in trial for my situation and to do it generously, faith says God cannot do anything contrary to his character, therefore I believe. He says, I believe, let's go. That's what faith says. It's not based on how we feel, it's not based on our circumstances, it's based on the character and the trueness of God's promises that he makes in our lives. Now, to be gracious in this point, this is important, we have to acknowledge doubting is real at times. We don't live perfect lives. One of Satan's greatest ploys against you and I is doubt, right? The first sin came about by Satan causing Eve and Adam to doubt what God did. Did God really say? There's a seed of doubt. So one of Satan's greatest ploys in your life and mine is to create and sow seeds of doubt in us towards God's character and God's word that will lead us down the path of despair and discouragement and depression and destruction and dismay and any other D word that's negative you can think of. That's what Satan wants to do in our lives. He wants us to doubt who God is and to doubt what God has said. Interesting, just this week, my Bible readings in part have been Genesis. I've been really blessed by that so far this year. Just go through the same reading plan each year. I love it, McShane's reading plan. And been in Genesis and Abraham and Sarah, both of them laughed at the idea. I mean, I don't blame them. And this is where, like, you know, you're 100 years old and Sarah's 90, you know, and God's like, yeah, I'm gonna bear a child through you. I mean, Abraham fell on his face and hasn't laughed. And Sarah, she's listening, you know, as Abraham talks to the angels and she laughs as well. And God's like, why is Sarah laughing? She's like, I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. You did. You definitely did. And she's, because it's just like so hard to believe. Like, I mean, as if, you know, and then, but God said it would happen. And sure enough, a year later, it did happen. And all the promises of God for all of us in the inheritance that come through again, Abraham's family and seed, all the way to Jesus Christ, Isaac was born. because God does exactly what God says he will do every single time, right? So faith sees the character of God, believes in the character. You know what's so interesting too? You may not know this. It is vastly agreed upon. James, the author, of course, of the book we're studying, the half-brother of Jesus, did not believe in Jesus Christ until after the resurrection. The Gospels explicitly tell us that his family did not believe in him as the Son of God. So James had his doubts. But after the resurrection, man, he saw, he believed, he's all in. And now he's like, let's go, church. I'm all in. You be all in too. Man, trust me, he's real. Have faith in him. He will do what he will do. It's an awesome insight to think about. James learned it. And now James is exhorting all of us to say, man, let's ask in faith. God is so good. Jesus Christ is so awesome. But let us not doubt. And look at verse 6. It ends with this. It says, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Wow, what an image that is, eh? So the picture here is imagine like the waves of the sea, right? Take a wave and it's always moving. It's never constant. It's always changing. This is the one who doubts. The one who doubts in the character of God, the one who doubts in the goodness of God, the one who doubts even like the blessings of God or God himself, that's the person who has no order. There's no stability. There's no control. There's no true direction. It's the person who's always moving up and down all over and this way and that way. And they're just always seesawing and everything. They can't make decisions. They're always doubting. There's no direction. There's no consistency. There's no blessing of God then because they're just constantly shifting all over the place. Oh, I hear this, I hear that. And that's what James is saying. The one who doubts is chucked all over the place. There's no anchor in their lives. They're not grounded in Christ and the word. Such a fight for faith here. We need to fight for faith because doubting is so, it's so damaging. So we must not doubt. And notice we learn in verse 7 now because doubt leads to disappointment. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, it says, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Wow. Notice James says that person, the doubter, that person. Now there is in the original, there's a sense of disdain here. And it's appropriate disdain because the person who's choosing to believe in the world or themselves as opposed to God, that person, right? James not pulling any punches. And why is James so serious about doubting here? Because again, the one who doubts is doubting the very character of God himself. And listen, the one who doubts is ultimately looking for wisdom apart from God. The one who doubts is like obsessed with the world, is like influenced by, again, celebrities and politics and all these other things. They reject God and they're going for man-made humanistic solutions for guidance and wisdom. See, just when you compare God to anything else, it's just ludicrous. And the one who doubts is the one who does that. It's like the person who's desperately thirsty and yet they choose to feed on sand to quench their thirst. It's just utter foolishness. That's what it's like when you reject the wisdom of God and you start to find it from the ways of the world. You are literally leaving the only source that can satisfy your thirst and you choose to put dry sand in your mouth and you will ultimately die. The person here in verse 7 is the one who is marked by indecisiveness, always changing opinions. Again, indecision, the person that's so often waffling. It's like the person who's shopping, but they can't decide what to buy. And they try, they go over here, I wanna buy this, and they can't make it, and they are paralyzed by the analysis in the moment and the inability to make the decision. And so they go, and they doubt in the end, they're totally paralyzed, inaction, and they purchase nothing and they walk away. That's verses 6 and 7. Sorry if I am highlighting certain people in the room where that's kind of you and shopping malls, whatever it is, all right? But spiritually speaking, it helps us understand this is the person who's like dabbling a little bit with God and dabbling a little bit with the world. I'm influenced by worldly voices. I'm swayed by humanistic higher education. I really want to see what the culture has to say. I'm really influenced by celebrities and whatnot. I really want to sense, you know, and so like the spirit of the age starts to fill their minds and lives. and they've dismissed God for that. That's why they must not suppose they will receive anything from the Lord, because they have ultimately rejected the Lord and they've chosen to follow other than. So if you reject the giver of all good gifts, don't expect to receive good gifts. Don't expect to receive wisdom in our context, especially in the difficult times of life, because you're choosing to go elsewhere by doubting God and then pursuing, again, the ways of the world. It just won't work, right? It has to be one or the other. It's God or not. It's either your source of wisdom is God or he's not. And the doubter's like, oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And they go through all the time. And all of a sudden, they're just completely in disarray and they have no true direction. You know, maybe you can just like stopping just for a moment, like the Holy Spirit just wants to catch up with you a little bit in your life. There's a lot of Holy Spirit application that could be flowing through every seat and aisle right now as you just consider like what is my source of wisdom and where are there signs of doubt in my life where I really am looking for the advice and counsel of things of the world as opposed to God himself. All right, it's a really good time for us just to stop and be like, man, I need to repent of that. I've been putting way too much stock in that person or that media feed or that pursuit or that stock or that, whatever. You just like, man, like that's not going to help me in the end. And I always want to remind us of what's happening in the moment. Like right now, as we're doing this, the wisdom of God is being taught and the Spirit of God is speaking. And so this is what God uses. He's renewing our minds even as we speak right now to direct us back to him, where he will forgive and pour grace and mercy and love and hug and draw near and cleanse and surround and secure and just pour grace upon your life, because that's his character. That's who he is. But when we doubt, doubt will lead to disappointment. We must not suppose we will receive anything from him, right? That's a hard truth, but it's very important, right? I mean, John said in John 15, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So apart from Jesus Christ, we're not gonna do or get anything of any value. So it comes asking for wisdom, must not doubt. Doubt leads to disappointment. And then thirdly, lastly, this, we don't wanna be double-minded. We don't wanna be double-minded, right? Look at verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So again, this is serious stuff here. So double-mindedness is to be uncertain of the truth. When you are double-minded, you're hesitating in pursuing the Lord. One commentator said this way, it's having a divided soul between faith and the world. Your soul's divided, double-mindedness. Kind of say one thing at church, say a whole different thing out during the week, act one way before the Lord, you know, here in this setting, act a totally different way. One foot in the world, one foot with God. You know, faith, your soul's divided between faith and the world. See, God loves wholehearted devotion. Love the Lord your God, greatest commandment, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God loves wholehearted devotion all through scripture. But the person who's double-minded, instead of being wholehearted and stable, the text says, notice, they will be unstable in some of their ways. Oh, no, actually says in all of their ways. Instability, an unwillingness to commit. They can't be depended upon. This seeps into all areas of their lives. The person in verse 8 is the person who's this, who's consistently inconsistent. They are consistently inconsistent. They can't make up their mind. They can't let go of the world. They're unwilling to be wholeheartedly devoted to Christ. And therefore their lives, this is important, Lord, just use this here. It's hard, but it's so important. Their lives will be marked by doubt, by inconsistency and instability. And again, remember, these aren't my words. I'm just teaching you exactly what's in God's word. For he will be double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So if we just kind of summarize what we're learning here in these two main points today, the wise person knows that wisdom is everything and that God is the only source of that wisdom. So the wise person knows only God can give me the wisdom I need for blessing. The wise person knows God gives generously. that God promises to do this. The wise person understands that God promises to provide this wisdom. He promises that it will be given. And the wise person says, I believe. And I'm gonna ask with faith in the character of my God. The foolish person is marked by doubt. The foolish person, as a consequence, is tossed with every wind and wave of doctrine. They believe anything, they're all over the place, they have no stability, no anchor. The foolish person is double-minded and unstable. Inconsistency, the doubt that seeps in, and they just lack, again, the integrity and to be able to move in a direction. They're always indecisive. And the foolish person will, in the end, receive nothing from God. So it's kind of like, you know, as a person who professes Christ, and you're like, plan A, plan B, you know, door A, door B. You're like, what should I choose? What should I choose, right? I mean, this is what it comes down to. But how many of us have seen these and done this? Like, honestly, there's some right now. This is presented to us and we're like, I'm going with that one. And we do. And then our lives like fall apart. Like that for me is like, I'm not saying there aren't moments where we struggle. Of course there are. But in the end, it's like, no, Lord, no. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Whatever it takes. Give me wisdom. God's like, well, if you lack wisdom, ask me, you know, I'll give it to you. I'm generous too. If you ask in faith, you will receive it. Today's a great day to start over. Isn't it so interesting too? Jesus in Matthew 7, and with this, Jesus says, if anyone hears these words of mine and does them, he is a wise man that built his house upon the rock, and the rains came and the floods came and the wind came and beat against the house, but it stood. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is a foolish man. And the rains and the floods and the wind came and beat the house, and the house fell because it was built on sand. And great was the fall of that house. Jesus Christ is the rock on which we stand. Jesus Christ is the wisdom from God sent to us. Jesus Christ will carry us all the way to the end. Jesus Christ is awesome, and he is the source of our wisdom. Let's pray, church, and let's ask. Father, big deal today again. I love your word so much. I love the clarity. I love the conviction. I love the challenge. I love how James writes. I love how your Holy Spirit says this to us. I love, love, love you and love this. It's hard, it's so good though, it's so needed. Massive amounts of application, I believe, right now. And I pray that you be as clear as ever with each man, woman, and child. Wisdom is guaranteed to be blessed from God. Wisdom is only found by God. Lord, would you be our wisdom? Please, Lord, I pray decisions are made today away from foolishness, that's gone from my life, towards wisdom. That I'm doubling down on. No more, Lord, no more waffling, no more indecision, no more doubting about things, no more worldly influences in that way. No, today is a day of change. Today is a day I pursue the very wisdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And I ask in faith, I ask in faith, Lord, and may we not doubt. We pray this with faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna be-